He was starting here on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, the last line. Amar Rav Acha Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'shinui bigadim min haTorah. Where in the Torah do we see that it's proper etiquette to change one's clothing from the Torah? Shneimar pashate bigadav v'laveash bigadim acharim. It talks about the hotzat adeshin, and it says that he should take off his clothing and wear other clothing. Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel. They conclude from this, lamedcha Torah derech eretz. Torah taught you proper conduct. Bigadim shibishel behem k'dera l'rabbo. Bigadim that you cook for your master, alim zog behem kos l'rabbo. You should not be presenting his goblet, his cup of wine to him. There's different clothing that you wear in the kitchen and that you wear when you come to the dining room. So over here, when the psuk is talking about the hotzat deshin, Torah says change into other clothing because that's dirty work. You're getting involved with coals, the ashes, and you could dirty up the clothing, the bigdei kihuna. So change into lesser clothing to perform that mitzvah. And then when you come to service in the Mikdash before Hashem, you change back into your good bidgadim, into your big day kihuna. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kenaihu, the Talmud Chacham should say, binalayim hamutulayim lashuk. It is inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham to go out to the shuk with shoes that are patched up. Baha Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Nafik. We have Maaseh Rav. We have an instance where we have someone going out to the shuk with patches in their shoes. Amar Rabbi Acha, Breder of Nachman, bitlai al gabi tlai. It's only when it's patched on top of a patch so that it's just overly patched. Looks like it's no longer a proper shoe or a nice looking shoe. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have another statement. You can see that it's all authored by the same individual here. All these statements are from V'acha bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a continuum of these statements from Rabbi Yochanan, which is called Tamid Chacham Shnimtza Revav Al Bigdo Chayav Mita. Any Tamid Chacham who has a grease stain on his beged, fat on his beged, chayav da shenemar, kol misanai ehavu mavet. All of those that hate me love death. Al tigra misanai ela masniai. Don't call those that hate me, but rather those that cause hatred towards me. Talmud Chacham, who represents Hashem, represents the Torah, they present themselves in such a manner as to make other people disgusted, to make other people feel we don't want to be near this person, then they are causing hatred towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards the Torah. You see, Rashi, he says, Chayav Mita, Tzarich Liot Chashuv V'Agun Lichvod Torato. Amar Chacham has to be appropriate stature because of the Kavod Torah that he represents. And therefore, if the person causes others to be disgusted, to distance themselves from Lumdei Torah, that's a problem. That's what's being indicated here through the limud of the pasuk. Vinamar rivad. Vina says not rivav, grease, but rather rivad. Rashi learns that rivad is shechvat zera, whereas the Rabbeinu Hananel learned that rivad is dam al bigdo. He has blood on his beged. That is disgusting. Shema yir ekiketem, because it looks like a stain from the dam of nida, something also that would be problematic. Others say ravad is a patch, a deep or thick patch. So therefore, ravina amar ravad itmar instead of ravav, velo plige, and they really don't argue. Ha beglima, ha belevusha. Depends what you're talking about. The glima is his outer cloak. Levusha is the shirt. So when it comes to the outer cloak, then fat or grease stains are problematic because that's what's going to be seen by people on the outside. To have a grease stain on the inner clothing, it's going to be covered most of the time and maybe even expected. It's not something considered so far-fetched. On the other hand, if the inner shirt has revad, according to Rashi, shechvat zera, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, dam, or according to others that say a thick patch, that is something that even on the inner garment is considered to be inappropriate or disgusting, and again will engender feelings towards Talmidei Chachamim, towards the Torah, towards Hashem, that put people ill at ease and help them distance themselves from Hashem and the Torah. Ramar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, what is written in the pasuk kasher halach avdi Yishayahu arom v'yachif, that my eved Yishayahu went before me naked and barefoot. Arum doesn't literally mean naked, but begadim bluim, clothing that is in tatters. V'yachif doesn't mean really barefoot, but menalayim hametulayim, but with shoes that are patched. Again, this idea that wearing tattered clothing and patched shoes is the equivalent of going out naked and barefoot, and that's why before, Yochanan indicated that it's inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham to wear wear this type of clothing or to walk in public with these types of shoes. Tanan hatam. Revav al hamardeya chutzitz. If you have grease on the mardeya, which is the blanket that goes on the donkey, the equivalent of a saddle for the donkey or the saddle bag for the donkey, if you have a revav, if you have this fat or grease stain on it, then it is chutzitz. Chutzitz is for the issue of mikveh. If you want to place it into the mikveh and you want to be mitaher this item, then the revav is chutzitz. Shim lomer ad ki sarat talki. That has to be the size of an Italian coin, the Italian isah. Vela begadim mitzad echad eino chutzitz. On clothing, from one side, it's not chutzitz. Mishnei tzadim chutzitz. If it penetrates, if it's through the entire bag and it can see on both sides, then it is a chatzitza. V'yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shmuel af mitzad echad chutzitz. Even from one side, it is a chatzitza. V'ayimin ei Rabbi Shmuel ben Lakish from Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Shmuel ben Lakish asked Rabbi Chanina, mardat mitzad echad o shmei tzadim. Is the mardat, the donkey saddle, the donkey blanket, does that mean from one side or from two sides? I mean that when we started at the Mishnah from Mikvaot, talked about the grease stain on the Mardeya, and then it just says Chatzitza. Then you moved over to the Bigadim, and the Bigadim we differentiated between one side and two sides. You had a Machloket. The Tana Kama says that it has to be from two sides, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel says that even on one side. Rabbi Shimon Lachish says, okay, once we know that about the latter half of the Mishnah, what about the Mardeya? Does the Mardeya mean from one side or from two sides? Amalei Zulo Shamati says, I did not hear the information about this. Kiyotze Ba Shamati, but I heard something similar. The Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shel Banaim, the clothing of Banaim, then from one side it's a chatzitza, v'shel bur, and for the Ameh Ha'aretz, then it's mishnei tzadim, it's from two sides. V'lotei mardat chashuva mibigdo shel am ha'aretz, and the mardat, a donkey blanket or saddle, shouldn't be any more important than a beged of an am ha'aretz. A beged of am ha'aretz that requires two sides to be chutzitz, so too the donkey saddle, the blanket of the donkey should require two sides. So my banaim, and this is why this is brought down over here, what is the banaim? You had two types of clothing mentioned in that Mishnah. You have the shel bur, and then you have shel banaim. Who are these banaim versus the bur? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu Tamidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mishnah is referring to the Tamidei Chachamim, that it's problematic even from Tzad Echad. Whereas for the bur, for the Amei Haaretz, it's only problematic mi Shnei HaTzadim, from both sides, B'chotzeitz. But why are they called banaim? Because She'oskim V'binyano Shel Olam Kol Yimehem. Because they are engrossed, they are involved with the building of the world all of their life. That's what we say at the end of Tom HaKtoret every day. Here you have the same type of drasha with regards to the Tamid Chachamim. Which is a Tamid Chacham that you return a lost item to him? This is based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says when it comes to an Aveda, lost item, you have to bring simanim. You have to bring indicators, clear markings that say that it is yours in order to have an object returned to you. But a Tamid Chacham does not have to give those clear simanim. He can do it with tviat ayin. He looks at it and says, that's mine. You believe him? And he can take it back, even though he can't give you simanim, muvhakim. Can't give you clear indications or markings on the object that tell you that it's his. That's also, the Gemara there qualifies it, that it has to be an object that he's had long enough that he would have enough familiarity with it so that he could say, look, this is mine. I know it's mine, and he could take it. In addition to that, the Gemara there asks, who is a Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham is someone who always tells the truth, never lies, except for the three exceptions that the Gemara in Bava Metzia brings down, where a person is allowed to lie, even if they are a Talmud Chacham. That person always tells the truth, and therefore they are reliable, they are ne'eman, we can give objects back to them when they say it's theirs. Now, Rabbi Yochanan over here says, who qualifies to be such a Talmud Chacham? Zeh makpid achaluko lovchom. It's somebody who is makpid on their tunic to make sure that it's right side in. So you could wear your tunics. Tunics were, in a sense, reversible clothing, except that if you wore them inside out, the seams of the stitching were visible, as well as of the hems. If you wore them the correct way, then the stitching was on the inside and the hem was on the inside, and it was a cleaner look to the outside. If you wore it inside out, those all stuck out. So a Talmud Chacham is makpid to wear the beged right side in at all times. Happens to be that with the gabei tzitzit by the talit katan, it's also brought down halacha that a person should try to wear the talit katan again, which is a quasi-reversible object. Whether you wear the round neck or the V-neck, you could wear them either way. Poskim bring down that a person should be makpid to try to wear it the same way every day. Same facing out and the same direction facing forward. One should make an attempt to do that. Who's a Talmud Chacham that we appoint as a leader over the community? It's an individual, you ask him halacha in any place. And he says, even in Masechet Kala. I'm going to go forward and I'm going to come back to this in 1 second because there's Machloket Rishonim, how to explain this. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezu Talmid Chacham Shemei Yiro Mitzvim Lasot Lo Melachto. It's a Talmud Chacham that the people of the city are commanded to do his work to support him. Zech Meniach Chavtzo V'Oseg V'Chavtzei Shemayim. Someone who leaves his own personal needs and he only is engrossed or involved in Chavtzei Shemayim, things that deal with the heaven. V'hani Milei the Mitrach Berifte. It's only for his basic necessities. Davar Sheni Yochol Yitruach Bo V'Chayav Tuluim Bo. Rashi says, things that he is not able to work for or to support himself because he's involved in Chepzei Shemaim, he's involved in Torah. On the other hand, it's only things that Chayav Tuluim Bo, only things that are a matter of life and death. I mean, things that are necessities, absolute necessities, there you have to provide for him. That we just said before, that was the Gemara that we quoted, that who's a Talmid Chacham? As a person that you ask him halacha in any place, and he says it. The mai nafkamino. What's the difference? The menuye parnasa le tzibor. That's to appoint him as a leader over the tzibor. Ibechada masechta. If he is a baki in one masechta, be'atrei. Then in his city, you can appoint him to be a leader or into a position of leadership. Ibechule tenuya bereish metivta. If he knows the whole shas, then he can be the rosh yeshiva. Now I'm going to go back and explain that statement of Rabbi Yochanan before. Yochanan said, who is the Talmud Chacham that you point as a Parnasa Letzibur? Says, that's a Talmud Chacham that you ask him anything in Halacha, any place, and he says it. Va'afilu b'mesechet kala. What does it mean, even in Mesechet Kala? Is that an expansive statement, or is that a contractionary statement, a narrowing statement? Does it mean that he knows everything as far as Mesechet Kala? Mesechet Kala, as Rashi says, is the farthest depths or reaches of Torah. Something that people don't normally learn. Something that people are not normally engaged in. It's a breita. Only a couple people get there. So is this talking about someone who's exceptional? Not only does he know Kol HaShas Kulo, but he even knows Masechet Kala. This not well-trodden Masechta. That's how Rashi learns it. And this is the indication of someone who's a real Talmud Chacham. Later on, who Rabbi Yochanan would call the Rosh Yeshiva. Someone that you would want to appoint as a Rosh Yeshiva. On the other hand, Tosafot brings from the Gemara in Kiddushin, and in the Gemara in Kiddushin it says a person who says to a woman, marry me, on the condition that I'm a Talmud Chacham. So then, the Gemara there says, if he knows even Masechet Kala, he's classified as a Talmud Chacham. Now over there, it's clear it doesn't mean that he knows all of Shas plus Masechet Kala, it means that he only knows Masechet Kala. One of the Masechtot HaKtanot, the small Sechta, and he knows a little bit of Torah. That's it. Over there, it's a much narrower statement, meaning that he doesn't know anything. So that, those of folks, he says, might be the explanation here as well. You ask him anything in Shas, and he knows it, afilu Masechet Kala means even just that one Masechta. Here it sounds like he's talking about a Talmud Chacham that we're going to point over the Tzibor. That's a later statement of Yochanan. There were two types of Talmud Chachamim. There's one who knows one Masechta. If you ask him the Masechta, then you appoint him a leader over the local area, the city. There's the other Talmud Chacham that you appoint as a Rosh Yeshiva. He's not talking here about the one you're going to make into a Rosh Yeshiva. When he says, afilu Masechet Kala means that you can appoint as a leader in the city, even someone who knows just that Masechta. Just that one Masechta of Masechet Kala. Tosafot reads it in a very narrow manner, which is, it means just this Masechet Kala. Whereas Rashi reads it in a very expansive manner, which is, afilu Masechet Kala, this unusual Masechet that even he knows it there. Tosafot does make one more suggestion that Masechet Kala is not necessarily literally a Masechto. Rather, he took notes and he was present at the Kala, which is the Yarchei Kala, which are the Shirim that were given before Yom Tov. Shirim that were given before the Regel. And there they had the Talmud Chacham speak, and there were certain individuals who were considered to be Bikiyim in the Kala, which is that they were either expert speakers, experts at knowing the Halachot that came from the Kala. So that might be Masechet Kala, he says, possibly means someone who was is well versed in the halachot that were given at the kala, at the shirim before the regel. Now, Reish Lakish, Reb Shimon Lakish, Amar argues on Rabbi Yochanan here. Rabbi Yochanan explained banaim as being from the word bonet, builders, being Tamarei Chachamim. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Lakish explains banaim from the beibani, the bathhouse attendants. So he's learning out that that means what banaim means here. And he says, Elu kelim holairin habayim ebedinat hayam. These are these, according to Rashi, fancy towels that come from overseas that are used by the bathhouse attendants for their rich clients. These were these fancy towels that were called kelim ha'ol ayirin. Others say that they were robes, some sort of clothing that was used by the wealthy, and that's what this banaim is. So the Gemara says, l'memra d'chivari ninu. From this, it would imply that they are white, because they're fancy, they're something that you wear over a towel, and we're worried about seeing a stain on it, a grease stain on it. If they're black, or if they're colored, it wouldn't be so visible, the grease stain on them. The grease stain is only really visible if they are white. To be makpi that the grease stain is only on one side seems to indicate that we're talking about a white bigot over here. Is that really true? Barmalu Rabbi Anai Lebanav. Rabbi Anai says to his children, Banai, Al tikruni lo bekelim levanim. Don't put me in white clothing when you bury me. Velo bekelim shkorim. Don't put me in black clothing. Levanim, don't put me in white clothing. Shemalo eske veya kechatan benavilim. Maybe I will not be zocha, and I'll end up in Gehinom, where everybody looks kishulei akdera, everybody's black like ash, and then I'll look like a chatan amongst the avilim. I'll be wearing white, and everybody else will be wearing black, and I'll stand out like a sore thumb. Shchorim, don't bury me in the black. Shemezke, maybe I will have the zchut, v'yeh kavel ben achatanim, and I'll end up in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden, and I'll be wearing black amongst all those that are wearing white. Again, I'll be like a mourner amongst the chatanim, amongst the grooms. I'll be standing out like a sore thumb. I'll be wearing black amongst those that are wearing white. Ela b'kelim hold ayirin habayim midinat hayam. You should bury me in this type of clothing that comes from midinat hayam, the same clothing that Rabbi Shimon Lakish just mentioned. Shimon Lakish seems to indicate it's white. Over here we have Yanai, who's telling his children how to bury him, seems to indicate that it's not white and it's not black. It says alma sumkeninu. From there it sounds like they are red. Now sumke is interesting because generally the Gemara uses the word sumke, like in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it comes to the halacha of whether one can kill another person to save their life. Over here the Gemara uses the term sumke to refer to the blood of an individual, that it's red. But over here, red would be, I guess, somewhat unusual. If you're wearing red, you'd stand out too, I think, amongst the white and the black. But others say sumke means colored clothing, rather than specifically the color red. When it says, lokash abiglime ha belavushe. Depends. There are different clothing, pieces of clothing that are affected. That glima, the outer cloak, that is sumke. That is red or colored. Whereas the levushe, the shirt, or the inner clothing is white. So when Reish Lakish was referring to these kelim, olareim, that are white, he's talking about the tunic or the inner clothing. Rabbi Yanai, who's speaking about the colored clothing, is talking about the glima, the cloak that they wore on top. So it must have been of the same material, or from the same location that they imported it overseas. But when you talked about different parts of clothing, it came in different colors. But Sefot points out, we also had this Gemara in Nida, and over there the Gemara says there's a stima between them being black and they're being colored. And so over there the Gemara differentiates as well. So he says actually three different types of clothing. There's clothing that is colored, clothing that's white, and clothing that's black. So you have all three colors that come in these kelim olayrein, depending on which piece of clothing that you end up getting, whether it's the outer clothing, the tunic, or other pieces of clothing. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shmuel Omer mikaplim. This is the latter half of the Mishnah where we had the machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva regards to the relationship between Yom HaKippurim and Shabbat. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Olat, Shabbat, B'Shabbato. The Olat of Shabbat is brought on Shabbat. Limeid, Al Chavei Shabbat, Shemakrivim B'Yom HaKippurim. The way the Gemara is reading it now, as Rashi says, they drop the Vav of the last Shabbato. They say, Olat, Shabbat, B'Shabbat, Acheret. You're allowed to bring the Olat of Shabbat on a different Shabbat. What's that different Shabbat? That means the Chavei Shabbat, the fats that are left over from Shabbat, you can bring on Yom Kippur, which is also called Shabbat. Yochol Afshal Yom HaKippurim B'Shabbat. I would think that you could also bring the fats from the Karbanot of Yom Kippurim on Shabbat, meaning if it fell out on Erev Shabbat Yom HaKippurim, then you could bring the leftover fats on Shabbat. Amal Omar B'Shabbato in the possessive form. Well, that Shabbat B'Shabbato in its own Shabbat. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So that's the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, which is that if Yom Kippur falls out on Motzei Shabbat, you can bring the korbanot that were left over from Shabbat on Yom Kippur. Whereas if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbat, you may not bring the leftover fat, liver, or carbonate from Yom Kippur on Shabbat itself. We know that Rabbi Akiva differs. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Olad Shabbat b'Shabbato. The made of Chalvei Shabbat, Shekrivim b'Yom Tov. There we see that you can bring the Chalavim, the leftover fat, leftover carbonate from Shabbat on Yom Tov. So Darshan in the same way, Olad Shabbat b'Shabbat Acheret. Shabbat Acheret here is Yom Tov. Yochel af b'Yom HaKippurim, you would think also on Yom Kippur, the Malomer, b'Shabbato. That only on that type of Shabbat, not a different type of Shabbat. Shektim Tzalomer, from their statements, we can conclude, the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Nidarim Nidavot Krevim B'Yom Tov. Voluntary offerings can be brought on Yom Tov. B'chitz Tichra, the Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, when he brought the Pasuk, we needed it for Yom HaKippurim. On Yom Tov itself, it's a machloket whether voluntary offerings can be brought on Yom Tov or not. Do we say that only Chovot HaYom, only those things that are obligatory on the day of Yom Tov may be brought? But voluntary offerings, you have to wait until Chol HaMoed, you have to wait until after Yom Tov. Or do we say that even voluntary offerings, Nedarim and Devot, Olot Shlamim, can be brought on Yom Tov itself? The Gemara suggests over here that Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that Nidarim and Nidavot can be brought on Yom Tov. If voluntary offerings can be brought on Yom Tov, then Kal V'chomer, obligatory offerings, like the leftover fats from Shabbat, can certainly be brought on Yom Tov. Therefore, I don't need a pasuk to be matir Chalvei Shabbat on Yom Tov. If I don't need a pasuk to be matir Chalvei Shabbat on Yom Tov, then what do I need the pasuk for? It says, for Yom Kippur. I tell you that you can bring Chalvei Shabbat on Yom Kippur. That's the way Rabbi Shmuel learns. Whereas, the Divrei Rabbi Akiva, right, Rabbi Akiva, Nidarim and Devot ain't craving Yom Tov. Now, when it comes to voluntary offerings, you may not bring them on Yom Tov. They have to be brought on Chol HaMoed. They have to be brought after the Yom Tov. Chitz Tichra, so then what do I need the pasuk for? Olad Shabbat b'Shabbatot to teach you that the Chalvei Shabbat, Chalavim of Shabbat, can be brought on Yom Tov itself. It's not obvious. We wouldn't have known that otherwise. That's why he has it, L'mishrei b'Yom Tov. If he has it to be matir on Yom Tov, then he doesn't have available to be matir on Yom HaKippurim. And that'll explain the difference in the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. They're both darshaning from the same pasuk, V'olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. How do they know that that second Shabbat is referring to Yom Kippur or Yom Tov? It has to do with their opinion in Yom Tov itself. Whether Nidarim and Devot are permitted on Yom Tov itself. If Nidarim and Nidavot are permitted, I don't need the pasuk for Yom Tov, so I use the pasuk for Yom Kippur. If I don't have Nidarim and Nidavot on Yom Tov, then I need the pasuk to tell me that I can bring it on Yom Tov, and that will explain the difference in their opinion. Ami Rabbi Zeira, ki avina b'Bavel. When I used to live in Bavel, av amrei hadetanya. I used to say that which we have in a bright, Yom Kippurim, shchaliot erev Shabbat, Kippur that falls out on erev Shabbat, lo hayu tokim. They did not blow the shofar. Obamotzei Shabbat, lo hayu mavdilin. And on Motzei Shabbat, they would not make Abdallah. Divrei hakol hi. That was everybody's opinion. Everybody agreed to this position. Yisalitna lahatam, once I reached Eretz Yisrael, Bizeira made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. It learned in Bavel. And later on makes aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. It's found in the Gemara at the end of Ketubot, the story about Rabbi Zeira making aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. It says, as long as I lived in Bavel, I thought this was a uniform opinion. Then I got to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechite the Yehuda Brei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Bumped into this individual. The Yotiv Vikamar. And he was saying, Rabbi Akiva he. That's only according to the Shitat Rabbi Akiva that Yom Kippurim and Shabbat are on equal planes. Diri Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Kevin to Amar Chalvei Shabbat Krevim by Yom Kippurim. Since the fats of Shabbat are Karev by Yom Kippurim, Litka. You should have to blow the shofar. Kehechid Lave Yode de Chalvei Shabbat Krevim by Yom Kippurim. So that you may know that you can bring the Chalavim on Shabbat on Yom Kippur. Amin Eliano, I said to him, Kohanim Zrizim Hein. You don't need to blow the shofar for the Kohanim. Kohanim are Bekiim in these things. They don't need a special siman to know that this is the case. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Ishmael, you would not blow the shofar. So now this is interesting, because in general, as Rashi points out, the shofar was blown on Erev Shabbat. Shofar is blown on Erev Shabbat to indicate that the Kedusha is going up. You're now found in a lower form of Kedusha where certain things are mutar. I blow the shofar to indicate to you that's about to change. I'm blowing the shofar to tell you that we're about to upgrade the Kedusha. When we upgrade the Kedusha, that means that certain things that were mutar until now are going to be asur. For instance, you have Yom Tov on Erev Shabbat. Then going into Shabbat, you're going to blow the shofar to indicate to people that Ochel Nefesh is no longer mutar. Ochel Nefesh is asur because we're upgrading the Kedusha from Kedushat Yom Tov to Kedushat Shabbat. The opposite is when we leave a higher Kedusha into a lower Kedusha. So for instance, if Yom Tov falls out on Motzei Shabbat, there we make Havdalah. Havdalah is an indication that I've now moved from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. So on a regular Shabbat, We're mavdil because you're leaving Shabbat and going into a weekday. When you have Yom Tov after Shabbat, you're also mavdil. Mavdil ben Kodesh to Kodesh, because you moved from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. Until now it was Shabbat. Now it's Yom Tov where it's Mutar Bochel Nefesh. So Tkiat Shofar is an indication on Erev Shabbat or an elevation of Kedusha. Havdalah is on Motzei Shabbat or an indication of lowering of Kedusha. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who feels that Yom Kippur and Shabbat are on an equal plane, you would both not blow a shofar on Erev Shabbat because there's no elevation of Kedusha, and you also would not make Abdullah on Motzei Shabbat because there is no degradation in the Kedusha. Whereas, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is a difference. According to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're moving from Yom Kippur into Shabbat, you should blow the shofar. Because Yom Kippur, you are not allowed to bring those chalavim, those fats from Yom Kippur, on Shabbat. So you should blow the shofar to demonstrate that or to differentiate between the Kedushat of Yom Kippur to Kedushat Shabbat. And the reverse is true. On Motzei Shabbat, you should make Havdalah because when the Shabbat leaves, you're allowed to put the Chalavim of Shabbat on the Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim. To that, we had the response of Rabbi Zeir, which says, I would not blow the shofar simply for the Kohanim. Because in this instance, you're going to end up in a case, came in to kill the Yom HaKippurim, Rashi says, Mishabbat litkala avtil miakriv chavei Yom Kippurim Shabbat. You should blow on Erev Shabbat in order to prevent them from putting the fats on Mizbeach on Shabbat. And then on Motzei Shabbat, they won't need to blow, because the absence of a tkiah will indicate that you can't put the chalavim of Shabbat on Mizbeach on Yom Kippurim. So you blow the shofar to elevate it. Rabbi Zera says back, Kohanim's rezim him. You can't just blow a shofar for the Kohanim. The only difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbat is putting the fats on the Mizbeach or not putting the fats on the Mizbeach. That's the realm of the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are well-educated, well-versed. Zrizim him. You don't need to blow the shofar for them. The shofar is for the hamonam, is for the remainder of the people who aren't so aware of these changes or these differences that come up, and therefore we would blow the shofar for them. But that's not the case by Yom HaKippurim. So Amalei Mark Shisha Breder of Chista Rav Ashi, Mi Amrinin Kohanim Zrizim Him. Do we really say that the Kohanim are Zrizim Him? We don't have to blow the shofar for them? Va'atnan Shalosh Lavtil Et Ami Malachas. Talking about an Erev Shabbat, Mar and Sukkah, a number of tkiot that are blown in the Mikdash. It says there that they blow three tkiot on Erev Shabbat to tell the people to stop doing malacha. Shlosh lavdil ben kodesh l'chol. And three to separate between kodesh and chol. Kedam Rabbi, Shar Amo, Yerushalayim, Hachanami, Shama de Yerushalayim. Over there, it sounds like they're blowing the shofar in the Mikdash, which makes it sound like it's for the Kohanim. The answer is no, like Abai said, it's not for the Kohanim. It's blown in the Mikdash. It's blown by the Kohanim in the Mikdash, but its purpose is for the Shar Amad Yerushalayim. It's for the remainder of the people in Yerushalayim. And so too over here, in this Mishnah, when we're discussing the case of Shlosh Lavdil Dami Malacha, Shlosh Lavdil Ben Kodesh Lachol, in both instances, that is for the Shar Amad Yerushalayim. So they should hear that shofar, and then they'll know through that shofar what they need to do. So Mar says, Litka the shari b'kniva d'yerek, mina mincha ulamalo. It should blow the shofar so people should know that there is a differentiation between Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. So this we're going to get to at the end of today's daf, that on Yom HaKippurim they allowed kniva t'yerek. Kniva t'yerek, even though generally it was not allowed on Shabbat, and it should not be allowed on Yom HaKippurim, be an isur, which is picking off the leaves from the vegetables, so they should be ready to be cooked on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, they should be ready to be made immediately on the exit of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, we're going to see this at the end of today's daf, that they permitted kniva t'yerek late in the day on Yom Kippur, because it's agmat nefesh. It's actually an increase in inui. Plus, it's a person more affliction to be engaged with the food. To prepare the food is something that makes them feel even worse. So therefore, it's not a breach of the inui nefesh on Yom HaKippurim, and that will get the food ready or be prepared for the meal on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. There is a difference between Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. On Shabbat, we never permit knivat hayerek. We do never permit this picking off of the leaves from the vegetables. On the other hand, on Yom HaKippurim, we do permit it min hamincha ulamalo. So that's what the Gemara is asking here. Velitka, you should blow the shofar, so that people should know that there's a difference between Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. On Shabbat, knivat hayerek was impermissible, whereas on Yom HaKippurim, it is permissible. So there is a change in the status of Kedusha from Shabbat into Yom HaKippurim. So if Yom HaKippurim falls out on Erev Shabbat, you should blow the shofar in order to indicate to the people that we've changed Dusha now. So Rav Shisha Breder of Amar Rav Yosef, Ishen Tochim, Shvut Lahatir. Rav Yosef says, we're not going to blow the shofar in order to be matir. It's an interesting statement by Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, blowing the shofar is an isur derabanan. An isur derabanan to blow the shofar on Shabbat or on Yom Tov or on Yom HaKippurim. So when we have Erev Shabbat, that's Yom Tov going into Shabbat, we blow the shofar to indicate to the people that we're moving from Yom Tov into Shabbat. That's a dispensation, really, or a breach of this isur derabanan to blow the shofar on Yom Tov. Why do we allow this dispensation? Why do we allow this to happen? Because it's an upgrade in Kedusha. To stop the people from doing something that was mutar until now, that we're willing to do, and that the Rabbanan gave a dispensation for. What the Rabbanan did not give a dispensation for is to blow the shofar to tell you something is now more mutar than it was before. To degrade the Kedusha, we're not going to blow the shofar. So here, if you're going to blow the shofar on Yom HaKippurim to tell the people now that they're permitted to do Knivat Yerek, that they weren't allowed to do Shabbat, that the Chachamim did not give dispensation for. The Rav Yossi says it's a one-way street when it comes to the shofar. Only blow the shofar on a Yom Tov in order to upgrade the situation or tell you that there's an upgrade in Kedusha coming. To downgrade the Kedusha, that we will not allow a shofar to be blown for. Rav Shisha b'Rei Rav Yehuda Amar, Shvut Krova Heitiru, Shvut rechoka lo hitiru. A shvut that has impact immediately, they were matir. Shvut rechoka, shvut that doesn't have impact immediately, that they were not matir. Rashi says, if we allow you to blow the shofar this year, so if you have Yom Kippur Fahad on Erev Shabbat, and you want to blow the shofar because of this Knivat Yerek, we don't need that. Because Yom Kippur that falls out on Erev Shabbat, lo yivashlum. You would never be mivashel them because you're coming into Shabbat. Coming into Shabbat, you can't cook the vegetables. Picking off the leaves late on Yom Kippur is not permissible in that year. That kia will only be there for another year. Shechol Yom Kippur in be'emtza Shabbat, lo etiru. So that if Yom Kippur falls out in the middle of the week, the differentiation or this blowing of the shofar will have, according to Rashi, no impact in this year. Because in this year, they won't permit knivata yerek. Why won't they permit Knivat Yerek? Because Yom Kippur is on Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, you can't do Knivat Yerek because the preparation of the vegetables is so that you can cook them on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. If it's Erev Shabbat, Motzei Yom Kippur is Shabbat and you're not going to cook them. So if you blow the shofar this year, it's only to tell you that in subsequent years, that Knivat Yerek is mutar. There's a difference between Yom HaKippurim and Shabbat. It's consistent with Rashi's opinion that you only blow the shofar when you're upgrading Kedusha, when you're going from Erev Shabbat into Shabbat, not when you are downgrading from Shabbat into Yom HaKippurim. And therefore Rashi says, in that instance where Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbat, you would blow the shofar going into Shabbat to indicate that we've elevated Kedusha. Knivat Yerek was mutar on Yom Kippur, it's not mutar on Shabbat. But in that year, it would have no impact. Because you wouldn't do Knivat Yerek in that year because Motzei Yom Kippur is Shabbat. So he says the only reason for that blowing the shofar is for in subsequent years, when Yom Kippur falls out in the middle of the week, that you're allowed to do Knivat Yerek. So that's the difference between Shvut Krova and Shvut Rechoka. Shvut Krova means it has impact on this year. It makes a difference now. Shvut Rechoka is that we won't allow you to breach Yom HaKippurim and blow the shofar on Yom HaKippurim in order to tell us in subsequent years you're allowed to do Knivat Yerek on Yom HaKippurim. Where it says, is that really true? Shvat Kruvak Tiritiru, is that really true that then when it was a Shvut that was immediate in need, they blew the shofar? But it's not. Yom Tov Shchaliyot Erev Shabbat, Yom Tov that falls out on Erev Shabbat, Tukim Velo Mavdilin. You blow the shofar, but you don't make Avdalah, because you're talking about an upgrade in Kedusha. Motzei Shabbat, if Yom Tov falls out after Shabbat, Mavdilin Velo Tukim. We're Mavdil in order to drop the level of Kedusha, because we're degrading the Kedusha, Velo Tukim, but you don't blow the shofar. Vamai, why don't you blow the shofar on Motzei Shabbat? Litkak, eche delede, the shari b'shchita l'altar. Should blow the shofar so you know right away you're allowed to do shchita. Why don't we blow the shofar on Motzei Shabbat? That's what already clarifies over here. When we're talking about blowing the shofar here on Motzei Shabbat, we're not talking about blowing the shofar to tell people that you have heter ochel nefesh. You would not be blowing the shofar for heter ochel nefesh, but rather to indicate them that you should prepare. It's time to prepare the Yom Tov meal. It's for an active mitzvah. It's for the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, to have the Sudat Yom Tov. So you blow the shofar in order to indicate the people that there's a mitzvah right now to take care of. Now that Shabbat's over, you got to get involved in making or preparing for the meal of Yom Tov. And so that's why we should have blown the shofar on Motzei Shabbat. Had it been simply that we're dropping Kedusha, then you would make Havdalah. You wouldn't blow the shofar. So here the Gemara is saying that you blow the shofar in order to know that you should be shechting on Motzei Shabbat and getting ready for the Yom Tov meal. So where it says the fact that we don't do that, Ela Mechavarta K'de Rav Yosef, It's made clear now that Rav Yosef's answer is correct, that we don't blow the shofar, the heter. We don't blow the shofar in order to allow people to do malachah, or tell them that they can do something they were not permitted in beforehand. We only blow the shofar to tell people to have til, to stop doing something they were doing before, and that's why we always blow the shofar on Erev Shabbat, and we make Abdallah on Motzei Shabbat. There's a very interesting Tosafot over here, the last Tosafot on the Amud. Says, not to tell you that Yom Tov is a lower form of Dusha, I'll odia Shehu Laila. Tell you it's nighttime. V'chein omer ri. The ri says here, ma shetokim b'motze yom ha-kippurim. How can we blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur? Einu el odia shu laila. So tell people it's nighttime. Ve'achilu et b'nehem shitanu. And they should go and feed their children who have been fasting, afflicted all day. Gam lachin sudat motze yom ha-kippurim. Get, start preparing that meal. For motze yom kippur, she k'ein yom tov. That's like a yom tov. V'lo k'machzorim shekatu bench t'giya zecha liyovel. Not like those machzorim that have this funny thing written in them that we blow the shofar in motze yom kippur zecha liyovel. So you know if Tosfot is discarding something, that obviously someone else says what Tosfot is discarding. And that is the shita of the geonim. Rav Haigon was asked about this. V'shasha'altem. You asked me about why we blow the shofar motzei yom kippur. Minageinu, our minhag is to blow tashrat b'yomtzei yom kippurim, to blow not just a tkiyah, but a tkiyah shvarim truah tkiyah. Chol makom, v'lo matzinu tam chova. We don't found any obligatory reason to blow the shofar. It's not something that's a chova. Elo dome says, what's the reason I think we do this? Ki hu zecher the yovel. It's a remembrance of the yovel. Shinemar bo taviru shofar b'chol atzechem. You blow the shofar in your land. Uminagenu b'chol shana b'shana. The only problem is, yovel only falls out every 50 years. So, every 50 years you should blow on Motzei Yom Kippur. Why are you blowing every year on Motzei Yom Kippur? It says, atu yovel. We blow every Motzei Yom Kippur up to the one out of 50 years when it would have been the yovel. To remind us of that yovel, we blow every year. Inami. Kedei la'arbevet ha-satan, to confuse the satan. Well, the arbevet ha-satan is a term that's used by Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we blow the tkiyot miyushav and the tkiyot miyumad to confuse the satan. What does that have to do with Motzei Yom HaKippurim? So I have here a bunch of the Rishonim and later the Achronim that discuss this issue of why we blow the shofar on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. A strange minhag. And the question is why? Here the Ri already is saying the reason we blow it is to tell you that it's a Yom Tov on Motzei Yom Kippur. Not to tell you that it's a Yovel. What does that have to do with the Yovel? And one of his main claims against the Benu Hai is that why are we blowing it every year if it's Zecha the Yovel? Blow it once every 50 years. Doesn't make sense. So the Levush, who is a Talmud Mufak of the Ramah, actually has a very extensive piece here on why we blow the shofar on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. He collected many of the reasons, and it's very interesting. It says, V'omrim, Hashem Elokim shiv'a pi'amim. They say Hashem Elokim 7 times, which as we know. L'lavot ha-shechinah. To accompany the shechinah, shetaleh v'tisalek achshav lalot mala mizayin rikim. As the shechinah now is returning to its normal place, where it sits above the 7 heavens. Tosafot in Brachot on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph says this. That's why we say Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times, and why it's not inappropriate. There the Gemara says you're not allowed to repeat Psukim over again. You can't say Shema Yisrael twice. So on Motzei Yom Kippur we say Shema Yisrael once, then we say Baruch Shem 3 times, and then we say Hashem Elokim 7 times. The Tosafot over there says that practice is justified because we are accompanying the Shekhinah through the 7 Rikim, returning the Hashem Elokim through the 7 Rikim. Keivan Shekvar Gamru Yisrael Tfilatan. Because Bnei Yisrael have now finished davening. On Yom HaKippurim, when we daven, the Shechina is present amongst us. Now it's returning to its place. It's one of the reasons that Rav Soloveitchik argued vehemently that people should cover their head through the entire Yom HaKippurim. Because like by Shmon Esrei, when you're Omed Lifnei HaMelech, you're standing before God, you cover your head. So to hear on Yom HaKippurim, it's clear from here that the Shechina is present the entire Yom Kippur. And the presence of the Shekhinah demands that one cover their head out of respect for the Shekhinah. And therefore, one should cover their head for the entire Yom HaKippurim because of the Shekhinah being present. Based on this, he says that the saying of the Hashem Elokim 7 times is to accompany the Shekhinah that's leaving us. Then he says, V'tok'im tkiyah achat. We blow one blow of the tkiyah, shehi siman l'siluk ha-shekhinah. That's a sign of the Shekhinah leaving. Shemistaleket v'olah ad-rakiyah. Kemo, he gives an example. כמו שהיה במתן תורה. Just like by in Parshat Tiro Matan Torah Dechtiv. Bimshocha Yovel, Hema Yalu Bahar. When the Yovel, when the shofar is blown, you're allowed to go onto the mountain. Because the mountain was Kadosh with the presence of Hashem. When the shofar is blown, that means the presence of the Shekhinah has left. So when the presence of the Shekhinah left, you blow a shofar to indicate that the Shekhinah has left. Uchtiv, Allah Alukim Bitruah. That God ascends with the Truah. Vegam. He says, in addition to that, Hatzkiyah siman simcha v'nitzuach. Hatzkiyah is a sign of excitement, happiness, and victory. Lomar, shenitzachnu et ha-satan. Say that we won against the satan. V'gam hu mitarbev b'tkiyah zu. Remember the Rav Haigon said that the satan got confused by the tkiyah? He says, this tkiyah mixes up the satan. Shizkor yom mitato, v'lo yuchal itkatreg. He'll think it's the shofar latid lavo, the day of the death of the Satan, and he won't be able to prosecute. So why do we mix him up now? Because he's coming back. Gemara tells us that the Satan has power over the individual for 364 days a year. One day a year, the Satan has no control over the individual, and that is Yom HaKippurim. So in Yom HaKippurim, the Shekhinah is present. The Satan is not present. So now you have an exchange between the two of them. The Satan's returning, and the Shekhinah is leaving. So you blow the shofar to accompany the Shekhinah that's leaving, but you also blow the shofar because the satan's returning. And you want to be arbeiv the satan. Keep him at bay. So you blow the shofar motzei say Yom HaKippurim. To say, don't come back with all your force here, the satan. Ve'od, he brings another reason. Yitzkiyat ha-shofar hu siman cheirut. It's a sign of freedom. That's on the Yovel. When you blow the shofar, you blow it because the slaves return to their homes. Everybody's freed. The land returns to its place. That's the siman of cheirut. Today the neshamot were freed from the sins of the body. And the bodies were freed from the punishment that they deserved. And then the last reason he gives. Which is that of the Rav Haigon. Rav Oshir brings a number of reasons why we blow the shofar on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. But it's very interesting, the blowing of the shofar and Motzei Yom Kippurim, it's accompaniment of the Shekhinah. It's to be marbev the Satan that's returning. Cherut, the freedom from sin, the freedom from the burdens of sin. And it's also Zecher Le Yovel. We have here the Tosafot who adds in that additional idea that you blow the shofar because it's a Yom Tov on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. And it's not a well-known Yom Tov. That's what Tosafot, it's not, people don't celebrate. They're not so into this Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov, a Motzei Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, you should blow the shofar to remind the people they have to make a big meal, they have to make a Yom Tov. Plus, they write down that you should wish your friends good Yom Tov and Motzei Yom Kippur, because it's a holiday. It's a special holiday, and because that shofar reminds you to wish them good Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Ila, Amar Rabbi Av, Amar Rav Huna, Yom HaKippurim, Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, Asur B'Kniva D'Erek. It's Asur to do this picking of the leaves. So as opposed to Yom Kippur, when it's standalone, you're allowed to do this. When Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, you may not do this. Amar Rav Mana, Tano, Minayin Yom HaKippurim Shechal Yod B'Shabbat Shasur B'Kniva D'Erek. Had we know that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, you're not allowed to do this picking of leaves. Tamalomar, Shabbaton. Torah says the word Shabbaton to teach you Shvot. You have to desist from doing this melacha. It's actually found in this week's parsha that we're going to read. There's a description of Shabbat as a Shabbaton, that there's a Shvot. Lamai. Ilay melamalacha. What do you need this Shabbaton to teach you? That you have to desist from melacha. V'aktiv lo taseh kol melacha. We already know from Parshat Yitro by the asserted Dibro, you're not allowed to do any work on Shabbat. Elav aknivat yerek shmamina. So this Shavuot is come to tell you that you cannot have knivat yerek on Shabbat itself. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, Mutar B'Knivat Yerek. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says that even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, you're allowed to do knivat yerek. Meitvei minan Yom Kippur Shechal Yod B'Shabbat Shasur B'Knivat Yerek, Tamal Omar Shabbaton, the bright that we just had before, Shavuot. Lamai, ilay melam lacha, if you're saying it's for regular melacha, v'aktiv lo taseh kol melacha. Elav b'knivat yerek, must be talking about knivat yerek. But it says, lo, the olam l'melacha. It's talking about regular melacha on Shabbat. V'avor lev asei v'lo taseh. It's to tell you that there's both a positive and a negative commandment with regards to the violation of melacha on Shabbat. Tanya kavote de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Yom HaKippurim Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, Yom Kippur that falls down on Shabbat, Mutar B'Knivat Yerek. It is permissible B'Knivat Yerek. So we have a braita that seems to go against the position of Rabbi Yochanan. We answer that braita by saying that the Shabbaton there is not coming to teach you about Knivat Yerek, but rather to teach you that there's a mitzvah that's associated with the malacha as well. And then we have another braita that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So everything interesting here is the last Rashi on the Amud. The last Rashi on the Amud says that when we're talking about Alav the Knivat Yerek, Ba'alma B'talush, we're talking about vegetables already picked, Mit Alav Melocho Kayalei Ba'asei the Shabbaton Shvot, that even though there's no Isser Melacha, because they're already picked a Talush, they'll pick off the leaves, and that comes out of the Shvot from the Pasuk of Shabbaton. Kevim Midoraita Asur B'chol Shabbatot Hashana, Hachalo Sharin Lei Mishum Agmat Nefesh, the mitche isur deoraito. So since the rest of the time midoraito it's asur b'chol shabbatot hashana, it's asur in all other shabbatot of the year from the word shabbaton, and I say there's a mitzvah that says in the Torah not to do knivat yerek on Shabbat. Therefore, we're not going to permit it on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbat. We're not going to give you a dispensation because of the agmat nefesh to do it on Yom Kippurim itself. If it was a mitzvah derabbanan, if we're just talking about a simple derabbanan, then that's fine. But if we're talking about an Isur Doraita, mitzvah taseh min haTorah, then we're not going to let you or give you a dispensation to do this on Yom HaKippurim. Ubishar Yom HaKippurim Shari Lagmat Nefesh. But what about Yom Kippur itself? Yom Kippur itself, Dichtei Beinami Shabbaton. It also has the word Shabbaton written by it. It's Shabbat Shabbaton by Yom HaKippurim. So why don't we say the same thing? There's a mitzvah taseh on Yom Kippur, not to do Knivat Yerek. And how are we permitting Knivat Yerek on Yom HaKippurim because of this Agma Nefesh? The answer Rashi gives is that the nature of the Isur Melacha on Yom HaKippurim is different than the Isur Melacha that's found on Shabbat. And that he says, Vavak Divrei Nami Shabbaton Shvot La Melachu Ela Mikol Davar Me'akev Melitanot. Very different. The Isur Melacha on Shabbat is inherent to the Shabbat, and therefore the Aseh comes to be Oser Melachot on Shabbat. Whereas the Shabbat Shabbaton and the Isur Melachah B'Yom HaKippurim, according to Rashi, is really associated with the Inui Nefesh. It has to do with the affliction of the day. It's coming to enhance the Inui Nefesh of the day. And therefore he says that Shabbaton is Shvot Vavmi Melachuhu El Mikodavar Makev Mitanot. Shabbaton means desist, not from doing Melachah on Yom Kippurim, but desist from things that stop you from having Inui Nefesh, having affliction on Yom HaKippurim. Therefore, we see that the primary part of the day of Yom Kippur is Inui Nefesh, and Melacha is only secondary to that. It's only there to enhance or to ensure that there is Inui Nefesh. Whereas for Shabbat, the Isur Melacha, or the Shvot, the desisting from Melacha, is the fundamental or focal point of the Shabbat, and because of that, the Shabbaton, and each one of them is read differently. The Shabbaton by Shabbat is read to Oser Knivat Yerek, whereas by the Shabbaton by Yom Kippurim is read to enhance the Inui HaNefesh, and therefore if Knivat Yerek enhances Inui HaNefesh, then it would not be impermissible on Yom HaKippurim. So V'amar, Rabbi Chir V'avam Rabbi Yochanan Yom HaKippurim Shkali Opechol, Mefatzim Be'egozim, you can break open the nuts, Mefarkasim Be'rimonim, you can open up the pomegranates, Min HaMincha U'malo, similar to what we saw before about Mutar Miknivat Yerek. Question if this is a separate statement, or according to the Marshal, it's a continuation of the Braita that we brought before, to allow to do these preparations on a weekday at the end of Yom HaKippurim, because it increases Inui Nefesh, Mipnei Agmat Nefesh, because of the pain that it causes, that a person's engaged with food, even though they can't eat, since it's an enhancement of the Inui, one is permitted to do such a thing. Debei Rabbi Yehuda Mekanve, Kravo, they used to pick off the leaves from the cabbage. Bei Rabba Garde Kare, they used to peel open or break open pumpkins. Came into Chazav Abdul Kamim Mecharfe, when he saw that they were becoming Zrizim, and they started working on the food even before Menchotayim, Amalo, Alta Yigarta Mimarova Mishved Rabbi Yochanan Dasur. Says, we got a letter from Eretz Yisrael saying that Rabbi Yochanan said that doing this on Yom Kippur is Asur. Now that's what he really received. Not that that really was the halacha, but he saw they were being makil in this halacha. In order to prevent them from being makil in this halacha, he had to give them a reason. He says that now we got an information that it's Asur, but also had to do it from a Gavur Rabba, from Yochanan, who they would listen to. Then they would stop doing this because Yochanan was someone who was chashuv in their eyes. And therefore he said, oh, we got a letter from Yochanan saying that it no longer permissible to do this, to prevent them from doing it too early in the day, because when they permitted it, they were taking advantage and doing it even before the Mincha L'Mala, when the Heter is only Min HaMincha L'Ala, for the latter half of Yom Kippur, when a person is deep in their fasting, then it's an Inui to engage with the food. Before that point in time, it's not really an Inui, and therefore would not be permissible on Yom Kippur. So in order to prevent any problems, he told them, now it's asur, we can't do this at all on Yom Kippurim. Okay, we'll stop here.